CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. We are live. We're here for you. It is a bright, breezy, brilliant Monday morning on CliffCentral.com.
Hello to you, and to you, and especially to you, and your little friend Tommy.
Oh.
Hello.
Is that how Tommy sounds?
Yes.
Jesus.
He's not that little, you see. He's like Brian.
My oh my, they grow up so quickly.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Let me bore you with some details of my return.
Yes, welcome back.
How's it?
Sure, this time last week I was in New York for 2 days, and it feels like, you know, when you're there, it feels like it's a long time that you haven't been at home. And then when you get home, suddenly it feels like you were away for a second.
It takes 2 minutes and you're back to normal.
Oh, man. I'm very excited to be home.
When
did
you
always end? Yesterday. Yesterday, but I got to tell you this funny story about yesterday on the flight back. So first of all, there was a man whom I named the Elephant, who was snoring like you cannot believe. This guy was, he was lying there going,
That's sleep apnea. That's what he has.
That's what it was. And he slept, man. He did not let his sleep apnea get in the way of his sleep.
Oof.
Had a good fat sleep at all of our expenses. But anyway, I mean, it was minor. So I landed. Go through customs. I'm always happy to see everybody at customs because it's like, finally people who smile. And, you know, because we forget, like, South Africans are generally very happy people. Despite the endless amounts of shit we put up with, we're really happy people. So you go through customs. You get a carousel now. You need to get your bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there and, you know, Rena's bag comes because we traveled together and her bag is off. And then I wait.
Uh-oh.
And I wait. And I wait.
No, I hate this.
And I wait. And it's not there. And eventually the thing stops.
Had you flown directly from New York?
No, it had been New York to Athens to Dubai.
Oh, dear.
To here.
So my stomach is already
like
in knots now.
24 hours of traveling. Anyway, so I go, all right, go over to the counter. And I'm not going to let this spoil a really good trip. So I get to the counter and I say to the woman at the counter, listen, here's the baggage tag. Bag's gone. I don't know where it is. So they bring the leftovers. Amazingly, there's a pair of crutches. Someone left a pair of crutches. You would think someone who needs crutches would not leave the crutches, but there was a pair of crutches.
It's not like they're going to get into the car and go, oh, no.
So there's a pair of crutches and there are about 3 or 4 bags. And the one bag looks a little bit like mine, but it's... Yeah, it's got some silver on it. Mine's just a plain black bag. It's got silver on it, same make. But it's suspiciously similar to mine. So, Rena says, look, this has happened to me before, where someone takes your bag by mistake.
Yes, I've done that to someone.
They only realize when they get home, right?
Yeah.
So, I look at this. I go over to the bag, and it says Flax on it.
Stop.
No way.
So... My dentist is Dr. Flax, and he was on the plane with us. And I thought, he's the only guy on the plane I knew. So the woman at the counter is like, no, your bag definitely came. It wasn't taken off at Athens. It wasn't taken off in Dubai. It's here. It's like, oh, shit. So I get Dr. Flax's number off my phone. I phone him. I go, listen, did you by any chance take my bag? Because I've got a bag here that looks suspiciously like mine. He goes, oh, my God.
Oh,
I got your
all
bag.
The people.
So I'm so relieved.
Jeez. Yeah.
Because what are the chances? First of all, what
just
are the
to
chances
be on that flight.
Exactly. That the only person I know on that flight, his wife took my bag by mistake. She thought it was hers. I mean, we were all tired. It was a long flight. But that it was him of everybody. Because, you know, if it had been, there was this poor woman from Amanzimtoti who was there and she couldn't get her bag. It had been taken off it in London. And she had to wait, and they had to send it to her. They probably got to her yesterday afternoon at like 6, 7 o'clock, right? And that's a good story because you hear about bags that just never get found, and you hear about bags that are stolen, and you hear about bags that are broken open, and other stuff
is
stolen.
There's a shop in the US where they sell stuff from bags that have never been claimed.
And you know, the people just their bags all over the world that never get collected. And I thought when it didn't come around on the baggage carousel, I was like, oh, for God's sake. It's going to spoil a good holiday. Plus, everybody's presents were in that bag. And so I was very annoyed. But what are the chances that the guy whose wife picks up the bag is the only guy on the plane I know, and I have his number on me, and he lives just down the road here. He works right next door to us.
Literally, I mean, two places down.
Just of all the weird things.
So had he left the airport already?
Yeah, he was already at home.
Because so you waiting.
Oh no, I was going to wait until that last bag came around. But I'm still trying to find out who left the crutches. That bothered me.
He woke up for work this morning and was like, "Something's missing."
Yeah.
Man. Why is it so hard to get out of bed this morning?
It's so difficult to walk.
Gift time.
Oh, nice.
All right, first of all, they're little things, so don't expect.
Sorry, my stomach is still in knots for you. Okay.
Ass.
I don't know what to say.
Mine's a fridge magnet that says,
"Ah, thank you, Gareth.
I'm here. Amazing. I'm awake. Don't push it."
Splatterball Trump.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's so revolting.
This gift is so shady.
This is so, all
Nolo's
so
badge
perfect.
Says feminist.
Am I a feminist?
Well, I thought you could put on that jacket you wear.
Oh, flip, actually.
It would be a very good badge.
Yeah.
For
jacket,
yeah.
It goes with your outfit today for sure.
Look at that.
That's his little fridge magnet. Ben got the splat ball Trump, which is the worst texture of anything I've ever felt in my life.
It feels like I imagine Donald's hands feel.
Read Stormy Daniels' book and you'll find out.
And Sia's got...
I have the perfect gift. So now I'll stop forcing you all to give me compliments. This is an emergency affirmation. It says, "Do you need an ego boost? Well, just push the button."
Okay. But you need to actually make sure
I need batteries.
Yeah. No, just pull that thing out at the bottom. You usually put batteries and give it to me.
Right. DIY means destroy it yourself to me.
They usually have a battery thing in here, and then you just pull out something. And
you
then
just find a way of attaching it to your computers, yeah?
It says, "Like a ray of sunshine, stay motivated." Stay motivated, build self-confidence, nurture your fragile self-esteem.
You need a screwdriver.
So shady.
Yeah,
it's kind of ironic there's no battery in it because he's looking for affirmation and he's not getting it.
Why is the R not working?
That's probably a sick joke. It came like that on purpose.
The guy who was on the plane with me is called in. Yes, go ahead, sir.
The snorer. Mr. Apnea.
Now, are you one of those sleepers?
Thanks. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. All right, very good.
Sure. Are you one of those sleepers who gets affected by things like this? Like you can't fall asleep because someone else is tossing and turning?
I have a fantastic pair of noise cancellation headphones, which are an absolute must if you're flying. Because they block out that engine noise and you just hear beautiful music and the movie you're watching. Mm. It's so great. That's what you need. And then you don't... But when you take them off, then you know all about it. So yes, I'm just glad I wasn't sitting next to him. Because that would have been horrible. There was some poor Chinese dude who sat next to him. Did not look like he had a good flight. Anyway, yeah, very happy to be back. So New York was incredible. I gave you a little bit of a taste of what I was up to, but I was only on the show once live because it was absolutely jam-packed. And that night that I waited up for you guys, it was midnight when I came on. But I was up every morning at 7, 8.
Yeah, these trips aren't tiring. Like, there's never a day you sleep in or...
But it was really great. I mean, like, there was not a weak link. The conference that we went to was about podcasting. It was in New York, and they had it at the Javits Center, which is down on the Hudson Riverside. And there's a whole lot of development going on at the moment there. I mean, every time you go to New York, there are more buildings, and there are higher buildings, and there are better buildings. There's one... I think I told you briefly about it called the... They call it the cigarette. But it's this tall, tall, thin building.
Mm.
And it was designed by a South African. And most New Yorkers hate it because it's new. It's like they hated the Eiffel Tower when they put it up in Paris and then eventually became the symbol of Paris.
A lot of the New Yorkers hated the World Trade Center.
Mm.
They hated the Twin Towers.
They hated the Empire State. Yeah, yes.
Hmm.
So it's very odd, but a beautiful building. I mean, you know, I love architecture, right? And I just got to I went to this place on the last day called the Mandarin Hotel, which is the Time Warner Center right on Columbus Circle. Mm-hmm. and you look across the... I just put the picture up this morning from the view, the view from the Mandarin Hotel. It's just the most beautiful view. Words cannot describe how magnificent that place is. I just love the energy of New York. It always feels to me like it is the most important place in the world. Like the stuff that goes on there is the most important stuff that happens. And whether, you know, if I can make it there, I'll make it.
Gareth's
story, yes, Gareth's story.
I was just adding the sound effects.
I also get to see a whole lot of South Africans who are doing really interesting things in New York. You know, we've got a what would you call it? It's almost like a diaspora of South Africans all over the world. But there are a lot of them who are making it in New York, and that's quite impressive. I've got two friends. She's involved in banking, and he's involved in engineering. Ooh. That only moved there about 2 years ago. He moved 1 year ago, and they married. And I spent quite a bit of time with them. One of my mates from Durban years ago is running probably the biggest like New York social network of all. It's about 800,000 people strong.
Shucks.
And it's just New Yorkers. No one else is allowed in. And they have these clubs and these dinners and these parties and these outdoor events and these festivals. And it's just incredible. And he's done so well. Got to spend time with the great and the good. I mean, Bob De Niro. I mean, Robert De Niro. He was the keynote speech man at our conference, which is amazing. We were sitting probably, there were only about 200 of us.
Mm.
And Robert De Niro. And he starts off like this. He goes, I'm here to talk about how we've got to stop making the profit motive the most important thing and make it about social good. Everybody goes, and they nod their heads. And he goes, fuck off.
Oh.
That's not what I'm here to do.
That's so awesome.
So that was a great way to start. And there are lots of podcasters in America who are doing very well who are also there. None of the ones who are in inverted commas, famous. But people who are growing audiences, and you know podcasting is now taken as the fastest growing medium in the world. So there are more and more people entering the market. They were selling a whole lot of equipment there. There were people giving talks about how you monetize your podcasts. It was nice to hear some of the stuff that we already know being affirmed and to hear about what other people are doing that we aren't doing. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned from that. So I don't want to go into a boring discussion around the business of it, but I also had a really good time. Ate way too much New York food.
Just the portions, hey?
I had a Five Guys burger the one day, which is the best burger you'll get.
What's that?
Oh, it's just so good. You go. It's a little, only New Yorkers know about it. It's this crummy little place on 54th Street. You walk through a door, they're shitty tables. It's just a mess. And they've got bags of potatoes piled up against the wall that come from Idaho. They make the best hamburger you've ever had in your life. And chips that are so goddamn crispy on the outside and so soft on the inside. And they're called Five Guys.
Why Five Guys?
I don't know. So huge
that it maybe could be finished by Five Guys.
No, it's not even the biggest portion. It's not even, by New York standards, a very big burger. But just so good. I went to the Majestic Deli, which is where I go on 7th Avenue. It's like a pilgrimage to get a bagel. A bagel, this is how you order it at the counter. You go, I need 2 bagels and lox with cream cheese and a pickle. Uh-oh. And he goes, do you want tomato and onion with that? And you go, yeah. Or you go, no tomato. Or whatever. And then when you get to the counter, the woman says, okay, I got 2 bagels, lox, cream cheese, tomato and onion, and a pickle. Do you want coffee?
You go, coffee.
Yes, thank you. I'll have 2 coffees. Okay. Sit down or leave? So I said, I'll sit down, thank you.
Wow. Thank you very much.
She goes, okay, it's coming right up. And it arrives like that.
It really does feel like you had a jam-packed schedule because you also went to a filming of Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. I went out to Brooklyn.
One of those.
Jimmy Show.
The Jimmy Show.
I went down to Brooklyn to see Jimmy Kimmel do his show. And guess who was on?
Your favorite.
Cardi B.
Oh, wow.
How cool is that?
Was Justice there as well?
No, Justice is in L.A., Ben.
Well, he would have made the effort.
He would have if he'd known. I tried to invite him.
His favorite.
So it wasn't his studio show. It was because I know they toured recently.
Yeah, so Jimmy Kimmel normally films in L.A.
Yeah.
And he was out in New York, so they set it up all year and they get all the New York guests in. So it was Cardi B, and then he had Alexandria Ortezia Cortez, who is the, she's a 29-year-old woman who's running for Congress.
Oh.
She's a very, actually very impressive woman. People are concerned that she's a bit of a communist, but you know what they say. If you're not a communist in your 20s, you don't have a heart. If you're not a conservative in your 40s, you don't have a brain. That's what they say. Anyway, she was great. And Jimmy Kimmel was good. It was a good show. There was some horrible band at the end who nobody will remember.
But I find on these talk shows, the bands...
Yeah, they usually suck.
I don't know if it's a New York thing or...
No, it suck.
It's crap. Ugh.
It was like three rappers and one guy sounded like Rasta, but he was bad. Anyway, so that was the Kimmel show. And I, by the way, I was not a slob. I went to a fine dining establishment called Jean Georges, which is the best restaurant in New York. You cannot get a table. Forget about it. And I had kale and salmon.
Wow. Mm.
Jean Georges.
Jesus, it was good.
Mm.
Oh, man. And they bring you... And I just had water with it because I didn't want to drink wine there. It was lunch. And they bring you this glass that is such thin glass that it could, if you squeezed it a little bit too hard, it would shatter.
Yeah, I'd love to know how that goes with the wash boy in the back.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he hates them. I'm sure he hates them. Who cares about him,
he
though, when
like
you're sitting
Edward
out front?
He looks like Edward Scissorhands with all the splinters.
Exactly. Oh, shame.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I did that and went to a restaurant called Zuma.
Aye.
Which is in... In Madison Avenue.
That overpriced.
It was overpriced and it was Japanese kind of fusion stuff. But I mean, good food, but totally overpriced. And I had ramen for the first time. Oh. I haven't had ramen before.
What?
Ramen's a big thing.
Oh, it's so good.
Mm, it is good. They bring me this thing with like two eggs floating in it and like a meatball
pickled eggs.
Type
Not
thing.
Not pickled, but they're
boiled almost.
Marinated.
And then... Oh. And then there's the soupy stuff, and it had a bit of
broth.
Chili in it. It was nice, man.
Oh, you enjoyed it?
Fresh greens.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. There wasn't a bad meal. There wasn't a bad day. It was really, really good. Wow. Who else did I see? I mean, think about it. I made notes on this stuff, so I wouldn't leave anything out for you.
Saw Colin Moss.
I saw Colin Moss.
What's he doing in New York now?
He has been there for 4 years, acting. Supporting himself and his wife, who hasn't had a job for a couple of years. And as a struggling actor, you've got to be very good to support yourself for 4 years.
Is he acting on theatre?
Feature films. He's got two of them coming out in the next month or two. So he's been working on them for the last 4 years and they're coming out now. He played a character in a game, you know, like a video game type thing, which is where the real money is because that's much bigger than the movie and music and sports industries combined. And he does voiceovers occasionally. And he's part of the Screen Actors Guild, so he actually votes for the movies at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. And when you're in the Screen Actors Guild, he was telling me, because after we had our, he had a Guinness and I had some vodka and something, and then he was off to the place across the road, and we were in an Irish bar, but a proper Irish bar. Like I ordered at the bar, and the woman said, "That'll be $24.99, thank you very much." Mm-hmm. I was like, what? Because you hear every accent in New York. I heard French. I heard Egyptian. I heard Korean. I heard Nigerian. You hear every single accent. New York is the world. It is not America. And so Colin orders his drink, I order mine, and then he headed off across the road to a Screen Actors Guild meeting where they have like a panel discussion. And sometimes they have big celebrities there, and sometimes it's people you've never heard of. But it's all only actors. And because it's off the record, they talk all honestly. So they talk about their craft and...
Who molested them.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's okay.
And then I saw... Speaking of actors, I saw Siven Gessi, who's also in New York at the moment. He's coming back, though. He's been there 7 weeks already.
Oh.
And Siv is also acting and doing theater classes. And he said it is harrowing. He's going to come in here and talk to us. He told me about how they sit there and then they... have to be totally naked sometimes.
Yeah, so it's like, that's my class.
That's the one he likes.
That's the way I really excel.
They have to cry. They have to do all kinds of stuff that makes them really uncomfortable and vulnerable. And, you know, this is actors. This is what they do. This is how they improve their...
Develop their range.
Yeah.
Get the range.
Anyway, I saw Nathan Rowe, who was there.
Wow, he really has gone a long way to escape Alan Ford, hasn't he?
He had to go all that way. So he walks into the bar
all
where
in
I'm
New York for a drink.
Exactly. I'm having drinks with Colin Moss, and he walks in, and I go, "Who's doing the show?" Because this was Thursday night.
Yeah, good point. Cause...
Yeah. I said, "Who's doing the show?" So he goes, Alan, I think. So I said, oh, Jesus, the wheels are coming off. I go away for a week and look what happens. The Unview falls apart. So anyway, that was good fun. Walked through Central Park. I held a baby for about 45 minutes in Central Park.
Where's
I was carrying
going?
A little baby around.
Minutes.
Yeah, I was
Did
carrying
you give
a
back off to
baby.
Baby.
Yeah. It was a friend of mine's baby, and she said, "Here, you want to hold him?" And he liked me, so I walked around with him in my arms for 45 minutes through Central Park.
But you're an uncle. You know babies
yes.
now.
Yes, that's true. Yes,
you start hanging out with actors, and look how you change.
Look at me. Anyway, so the what else?
Connecting.
What else do you want to know?
Sensitive side.
let me think. I didn't go and see any shows. Thank Jesus.
Oh, why?
I don't want to see musical theater.
But I mean, there weren't any concerts happening, any big concerts.
I was
invited
to go and see Hamilton, which is the
all the rage. I heard those tickets are ridiculously expensive.
$700 a piece.
Outrageous.
$700. Listen, you don't want to do the exchange rate while you're there. Mm-mm. It's a terrible thing to
Swipe
do
Swipe with your eyes closed.
You just haul out the money, you pay it, and because if you think about how 9,800 rand, it's almost 10,000 rand for one Hamilton ticket. Can't do that.
Because Hamilton was over in the UK when we were there. And after hearing all the buzz, I was like, maybe. And then I did the exchange. I was like, my bank says no.
No.
My bank
But I did go and see Nora and Pure, which was on in Brooklyn on the Saturday night. So I did quite a lot of traveling across to Brooklyn on this trip, which I haven't done before. And yeah, did a bit of shopping, which was good fun. And got to see all those institutions of, you know, New York that you have to check out while you're there. But it felt like I was a New Yorker because I was living with friends, and they live in this gorgeous apartment on the Upper West Side, and I felt like I was a rich New Yorker. Mm-hmm. Like a whole
And nothing better than a rich New Yorker. Man.
Unbelievable. Wake up every morning and had a cappuccino with this view. It made me want to cry. It was so beautiful. So that was the trip.
But look at the view
boring.
You have today.
I know. I got all of you Muppets. Isn't that fun? Isn't that nice?
We love our
On that
brand.
Note, Ben, so, can I touch your Trump? Please.
Yeah. So, yeah, feel the Trump. Feel the Trump. He was not in New York at all because there was no traffic problem. You know, when the president comes to town, they shut down streets and it's a disaster.
And how's it like, I wonder, when you shut down a street like New York?
Well, any street in New York, you should. Listen, they're always doing repairs. Mm. They're always repairing the subway. There's always something going on in every other street.
So it's like Santon, basically.
Yeah, that's it. And I wondered, this is something that kept occurring to me. Or you look at all these skyscrapers and you imagine all the water pipes going up and all the shit pipes coming down.
Yeah.
You wonder how much human turd is flowing through New York. Because it goes the way to the top of those buildings. Someone takes a dump. And it comes all the way down, and then it has to go somewhere.
I still, to this day, I want to see the show.
You know
show.
Where it goes? New Jersey.
I want someone to make the documentary, Where Does All the Poo Go? And every episode, every episode is a new city.
You tag someone's turd, and you follow it through its life cycle.
That would be fascinating.
Imagine, you put like a tracker.
But it would be so controversial because people will be like, oh my gosh, I'm living amongst turds.
Well, the thing is, you know how...
Be the best documentary series
more,
ever.
What bothers me more than turd in pipes is the fact that... take a plane, for example. You're sitting next to people who have turds in their intestines. Do you know how much turd there is?
No, but that's fine because it's not a turd until it breaches.
Yeah, it has to
be born.
You have to give birth.
That's like
born.
Saying everyone's a mother, everyone's a father. It has to.
And
has
do
to
you
birth.
Know how long your intestines are if you stretch
exactly.
them out?
Exactly, endless.
Thought about that. Think about that.
It's an endless maze.
You want to be upset today.
You know how the stat goes, Leanne? If you take someone's intestine and you string it a lot, you can circle the world twice.
No, that's
what?
So a little bit of a...
I think
that's maybe an exaggeration.
You've read the wrong Guinness Book of Records there.
No, just so we can be clear, the intestine is about 7 meters.
That's
the small intestine, the large one.
Adult steps.
The large one is about 1.5 meters.
And
still fucking long.
A lot of poop in there.
Well, you don't have poo in the small one.
Mm.
Small one, it's still taking all the nutrients out of the food you eat and using that to turn it
into
energy.
So 1.5 meters of poop per person.
At least, well, you could have, if you're really backed up, you could have 1.5 meters of turd growing in you right now.
But yeah, you shouldn't be worried about the turds. It's the farts you got to worry about. I mean, what happens more in life? People fart or people crap themselves?
Yeah, this is true.
Well, this is what bothers me on a plane. I was thinking about this last night on the plane. Not last night, the night before. I'm a bit discombobulated about what day.
A little fuzzy.
Yeah, it's all kind of, you know, when you've got different time zones and you're flying from New York to Athens to Dubai to here, you kind of forget where you are half the time. Anyway, but I was thinking all those people in there, they must fart, right?
Yeah, everyone does.
All the time.
So do you smell that on planes? Because I usually only smell what's coming from the galley, like the food. Mm. And if you go into the bathrooms, you can obviously smell that there are terrible people who just didn't think to shit before and after.
No, there are certain smells.
I've never, ever shat on a plane. Why would people do that to other people?
There are certain smells of travel and that whiff of that toilet with that chemical balancing act that it tries to have every time.
Hot smell.
Yeah. You know, the extraction fan is doing whatever it can, but it's like it's like one checkout on Black Friday. It just can't do it all.
I can't brush my teeth in that scenario because as the toothbrush touches my tongue, I'm done.
A friend of mine was saying Black Friday, by the way. He went to the Black Friday sale last year, mm-hmm. and he said it was such pandemonium. He was almost killed by an old woman. Mm-hmm. As he walked in, she pushed him to the ground and kicked a child in the face
to get
to the specials. Oh, it's unreal. He said it was at Macy's because we were walking past Macy's at the time. And he said, I never want to go there again. I was traumatized.
Oh, my gosh.
And the New York subway can traumatize you. I had a bumper day of crazies on Thursday. There was an old white man, looked like a veteran of the military. And he was shouting racial epithets. Mm. He was being so obnoxious, using the N-word and calling people coons. And he was shouting and carrying on. He says, if people want to fuck me up, I'll fuck them up. And everyone
he'd lost it, basically.
He was a crazy person. And everyone was just ignoring him like he wasn't there. It's the weirdest thing on that New York subway. And then there was some man who just started shouting at like the lamppost. He just started screaming at the lamppost in the street. He was like, I don't need you in my life.
Okay.
You're a son of a bitch. And he's having a go at this lamppost. There's a lot of mental illness in New York.
These are two people from Sid's acting class.
No, these are people. You know what happens? That city's like a magnet for insanity. They all come from all over the world to be there. And they're people who sleep on the benches.
My brother is still scarred from when he was 5 years old. Walking through New York with my mum, and this homeless man walked past him and stopped and stared at him and went, you fucking Jew. We're not Jewish, by the way. It was just so bizarre.
Such shit people. There really are such terrible people there. And a lot of, listen, it's a hard city, right? I mean, it's just very, very hard. Like if you have no money in New York, you are screwed. Screwed. An apartment, the size of this desk, an apartment that big, will cost you as much rent as a house in the suburbs in South Africa will for a month. I'm telling you, it's unreal. And that box that you're in, by the way, doesn't even have a window. You're
just,
in an inside
just rats.
Room. Yeah, just rats.
Just rats
for neighbors. Huh? Scary.
Mm.
I'm telling you, yeah. We don't realize.
It's good to be home.
Right.
Seven Guessy was saying to me, he looked around and he did say, don't quote me on this, but I'm going to quote him on this.
Oh.
He said, people in South Africa, when we talk about poverty, because you can always just go into a field and you can cut some, you know, some felt, some grass, and you bundle it together and sell it as a broom, for example. You can't do that in New York. That guy's panhandling. This guy got onto the subway and started selling Oreo cookies. He's got a box. I don't know whether he stole it or whether he bought it. But he gets on there and he goes, "Hello, folks. I just want to tell you I'm not here to bother you, but I have some goods to sell, and if you would like to buy them for just $1, then put up your hand now, and I will come to you. Otherwise, I'm going to leave you alone. Here it is. A bunch of Oreo cookies. $1 cookie. If you want some Oreo cookies to munch on your way home, put up your hand." Nobody did. And then as he walks past, he goes, "Motherfuckers." So he's all friendly until he can't sell it. It's unbelievable.
Professional.
Now the place is just, and the New York subway, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know where you're going. You get on the wrong train. You get in people's way. You stop suddenly to look at a sign. People will, they will push you into the tracks if you don't get on that train or get out of the way.
Why, are they in a hurry?
Are they in a fucking hurry? Are you kidding me? Everybody in New York, the homeless people are in a hurry. The business people are in a hurry. The moms are in a hurry. The kids are in a hurry.
The homeless people are in a hurry.
They are in such a hurry. The homeless people will, because they know other homeless people are going to the same trash can that they're going to go and forage in, and they got to get there first.
Oh, shit.
Oh, it's competitive. Let me tell you something. It is competitive.
That's too much.
It's so unreal. And everybody's got an opinion about Donald Trump. Everybody.
Of course.
So it eventually became a bit taboo to even talk about him. Because it's just, you know, New York's quite a Democrat place, but the average people and a lot of tourists there probably like Trump. So New Yorkers have learned that they've got to sell Make America Great Again caps. They've got to not be bashing Trump the whole time if they want tourism. And if they say something negative about Trump, which most of the New Yorkers would like to say, then usually they'll get like a fist in the face from someone in the, from the Midwest. So everybody's very tense about this.
How are the talk shows surviving in that case? Because every single talk show host and audience you can hear are anti-Trump.
They're surviving, but they're not thriving. It was interesting. Like the one morning I watched MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and ABC.
Mm-hmm.
ABC was probably the most balanced of them all. CNN is very far to the left. MSNBC is far to the left, and Fox is obviously far to the right. And they're totally different stories. Like if you watch, Trump did this. He went and did this Make America Great Again rally somewhere. I think it was in Texas. Fox covered it like it was the second coming of Christ. This was the greatest moment. Our president gave a moving speech. Can you imagine Trump being moving? "Yes, you're all beautiful. I'm fantastic. It's great to be here. I'm the greatest. Thank you for coming. We'll make America great again. Soon. Just wait. Wait till we put Crooked Hillary in prison." That's a moving speech, according to Fox News. Then you got MSNBC like, Trump is going around. He's holding these like Third Reich style gatherings, like the Nuremberg rallies. He's the devil. He's evil. He's going to take us all the way to hell and back. And then, you know, you got the in-between people who are like, the president was in Texas.
How we took those days for granted.
Unbelievable, isn't it? But the one person I didn't want to like call and bother was Trevor Noah, because I know every South African who once saw one of his comedy shows, when they get to New York, try to hook up with Trevor Noah. I wasn't going to do that. Left him alone. But otherwise, I saw a bunch of cool people. And as I said, some South Africans are doing very well. Let's get to the five things you need to know today.
Oh, what a trip. Yes.
All right, where shall we begin? Ass, do you want to go? Sia, do you want to go?
It's Sia, I think.
All right,
sure.
Hit me.
I'll go with something. After a whirlwind weekend, really, Gareth, you're back. And my goodness, didn't we have a lot to deal with?
Right.
So one of the big main stories that took place last week was of the pastor, Timothy Omotoso.
Sure, I heard about this.
Do you know about it?
Well, he was sexually abusing some girl or a bunch of different women.
A bunch of different women in his church. He had a home where he would take in young children or people in his congregation who were in different circumstances. And a lot of them were young women. And these young women are now speaking out saying he would do inappropriate things to us. So yesterday was the first time since his court case came to light that he went back to his church. And this is Nigerian pastor Timothy Omotoso. His church is called the Jesus Dominion International Church. It was actually shut down yesterday in Port Elizabeth because of protesters. Now, some of these protesters included members of the ANC, the EFF, that gathered outside the church demanding it to be shut down. And Omotoso is currently just on trial for raping and sexually grooming about 30 teenage girls.
It's like the Bill Cosby of the church.
So
that's a phrase.
Bill Cosby of the church, as if being Bill Cosby anything was bad enough. Like Bill Cosby of the church.
Of the church. Because where the Catholics have got their reputation and Bill's got his. And where the two intersect, that's where Pastor Omotoso lives.
Drama. So the EFF's Luvuyo Tonase.
I'm living on the corner of Bill Cosby and Catholic Church Street.
It's a spot you don't want to find yourself in.
God, how horrible.
The EFF's Luvuyo Tonase says that the EFF and the ANC have put their political affiliations aside to stand together. They're saying that the church needs to be closed down as it's treated as a crime scene because of the heinous crimes that the pastor committed.
Yeah, we should close down those two political parties as well if you look at VBS Bang.
While we're at it. But let's also treat them as crime scenes.
Exactly. Sorry, guys. You can talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
Second story that you need to know this morning. Well, Gauteng Department, welcome to 2018.
Yes, because this is great news. I heard about this. Listen, Gauteng motorists will not have to walk into a testing center and book for their learners or driver's licenses. Ta-da!
Welcome to 2018. I mean,
it's taken such a long time.
Those license centers are dreadful. You don't even get stray dogs there.
No, nobody wants to go there.
Is that your mark of anything? Yeah, stray dogs.
Yeah, we still have to renew our licenses, though.
That can also happen at the bank.
You can do that at your bank.
And you, as long as you go for an eye test.
Whenever
that's
I walk
fine.
Into
there's
those
optometrists everywhere.
Those
they
driver's
smell
licenses,
nice.
Those are the ones that are the killer. Yeah. Those are the killer. Yeah. Because you can get your passport, you can get your ID, all of those things through the private the banks and the post office and those kind of. But the driver's license, you still have to go to government.
Can you get your passport? I think passport's still government.
I got my new passport through FNB here.
Yes. So why would you ever bank with anyone else? How about that for a tagline?
How about they should pay for that? All right. So this is great news. The Gauteng Department of Transport have decided all booking applications will be done exclusively online with effect from November the 1st due to the successful implementation of this system. Well, I'm glad they got it right, but nobody, as far as I can tell, in New York knew what I was talking about when I brought up the SARS IT woman. In that terrible interview, which I'm sure you guys have seen.
Because no one would have believed it. They were like, this is a terrible comedy show.
It is shocking. I only saw the clip. I only saw it on Thursday.
They're like three. Yeah, and I took my dad through them because he's a tax practitioner. So
yeah, we gave it a full rundown on Friday, Gareth, where she played all the clips.
So now she's apologized for her conduct, posture, and demeanor.
She should apologize for being alive.
But she's still not impressed by the Drakensberg Boys Choir recruitment system.
Yes, she says them should be more women, right? What a nutcase.
She said, my conduct, posture, and demeanor during both the Morning Live interview and Nugent Commission may have given an impression of arrogance, nonchalance, and unprofessionalism.
No.
And just brought my competence.
She's being too hard on herself.
No, those are the least of our worries here, sweetheart.
She's below ground level stupid.
I apologize unreservedly for letting so many people down and for appearing to have fallen short of the highest standards of professionalism and competence that my colleagues and peers have come to know me.
Let me tell you, everybody.
Have they?
South Africa, this is a general announcement. Ding, dong.
Give me that airport bell thing, ass. Can you do it? Dong, dong, ding.
Boom, boom, boom.
South Africa, this is a general announcement. Since we all got to meet the head of SARS's IT department the other day through three really stupid interviews she's done, and remember, 3 points on a graph gives you a graph. It's not just an indicator, it's an actual trend. You can prove she's so stupid that you don't have to worry about your taxes this year. Do not pay. I will say again, do not pay your taxes anymore. SARS have the dumbest people in the world working for them. You do not have to hand over your money. Thank you.
Yay.
Boom, boom, boom. Oh. Can I just say, the Drakensberg Boys Choir was established in 1867.
Yes, okay.
And in 2018, and girls are still not allowed to sing.
And this is the first time since 1867
they've suffered
so much abuse.
Well, it is called the Drakensberg
Boys Choir.
Jesus. And you know why they have boys choirs? Because boys sing slightly differently to girls.
She was asked to inspect the records which were provided to the commission. Triple M, as we've called her, Ben and I have decided that shall be her name.
Triple M.
She responded saying, I have a very rare eye disease, but let's try.
How?
Eye disease. Eye disease.
I was watching
this.
She's
got a rare brain disease called stupid.
Just cringing.
It's so bad. It is so bad. Anyway, all right. So she was in the news. And then I see Siyabonga Gama has been fired as Group Chief Executive Officer of Transnet, the state-owned freight and rail company, confirmed on Sunday that he was out. Edward Kisveta confirmed his dismissal on ENCA's The Fix program. That's on Sunday evening. I can confirm that a letter was handed to Gama to inform him of the board's intention to continue with the termination. You know, it takes so long to get rid of someone, though. He'll still be there in 6 months' time.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But supposedly, according to Siyabonga Gama, he heard through the interview that he was fired. Yeah. So this letter business, I don't know what happened.
Well, if that's true, that just shows you how badly run these places are. Close them and sell them.
Imagine you're just flipping through the TV channels and then like, wait, what?
I can't wait for Anthea to come in here and tell us what she thinks of that. And just quickly, before we go to Ben and the sport, because we are taking a bit more than our time this morning, more than 1,300 people have been left homeless after hundreds of shacks were destroyed in a blaze which broke out in Khayelitsha. The fire broke out in the early hours of Saturday morning. One person's been killed. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the pictures and you see how close together all these shacks are, one tiny fire in one of them.
It's a tinderbox.
It just spreads like wildfire. And before you know it, there's a whole crater of where there used to be people who were living there. I mean, you can imagine the carnage. So all I can say is that SASSA has been, that's the South African Social Services Agency, have been and will continue providing humanitarian relief. Approximately 120 dwellings were destroyed. See, first of all, people shouldn't be living like this. It really shouldn't be happening in 2018. And second of all, if they are living like this, then we've got to find ways of getting them out of there as quickly as possible. Get them into decent housing. You can see the decent houses on the right of the photograph, and you see all the shacks on the left of the photograph, and it's just, it's awful. Awful, awful, awful. All right, let's get to Ben, see what's going on in the world of sport. There is other news, but we'll get to that after 7 o'clock this morning. And Anthea coming up in a moment or two with a look at your money. Ben, tell us what's up.
Gareth, bloody interesting weekend of Carrico Prep over the weekend. Mm-hmm. The Telkom Knockout Cup was quite entertaining. And Brooks Koepka is now the new world number one in golf. The Currie Cup, what is that? Well, it's a two-week tournament in October. That's what it is. Basically, all the provisional rounds, well, no one really cares about because there's no real Springboks or there's other rugby on. But then, out of nowhere, comes the semi-finals. And how good are they? Uh-huh. The Bulls, obviously, they were very much not the favorite team to win on the weekend, as I said. They were going to get brushed aside by Western Province. But at full time, it was 32-all. The Bulls played very well, even though they had a mostly unstar-studded team. Not like the Western Province were, you know, just like very, very strong either. But this is a team that's gone through the Currie Cup and basically smashed everybody, so the Bulls were going to get beaten. But 32-all, they scored a try right at the death, and even had a kick to win, but unfortunately the kicker shanked it. Into extra time it went, and 35-32, Western Province absolutely snuck that one. Some people say the ref actually won it for them, so the Blue Bulls were hard done by. But what an incredible kind of turnaround that, because the week prior, Western Province beat the Bulls in one half, in rain, in thunder. It was just dreadful for them. And the other match, the Sharks beat the Lions 33-24. The Lions came back strong, but the Lions were really just, they were far too depleted. Yes, they had a couple of backline stars back, but they were far too depleted there. So it'll be the Sharks versus Western Province this weekend. It'll be at Newlands. And that is a huge deal, because it's still SA's best provincial tournament. only when she's tournament. Super Rugby killed everything, but the Curry Cup still has this little...
Shame, it's still trying.
The Curry Cup still has this little twinkle in its eye. It's like it's like that girl you forgot about who's still got that black number that she can bring out once in a while and still dress up. That's the Curry Cup for
the
you right
you
there.
The girl you forgot about that can sometimes bring out that black number and get your attention.
Exactly, there she is.
That's hard, that's hard the Curry in Ben's Cup. Environment to get attention.
Still got it, Curry Cup. Yeah, so Province versus Sharks this weekend. This is a repeat of last year's final, which Province won. Into the Springboks, well, the Beast is injured. You'll not be going on the European tour. So currently, Rossi's like core group are in Stellenbosch. They're in Stellenbosch for a BOK training camp. But this weekend, after the Curry Cup final, the full squad will be announced. There's no English or French players currently in the training squad, nor the players who will be taking part in the Curry Cup this final this weekend. But yeah, just no Beast. Just a matter on those fixtures. 3rd of November will be the first one. England versus South Africa at Twickenham. Saturday the 10th, France versus South Africa at Stade de France. And that'll be at 6 o'clock. England game, 5 o'clock. And then Scotland versus SA. That'll be at 5 o'clock on the 17th. And then, are you playing me out?
No.
And then Saturday...
God, you're like an Oscar speech that's nervous yeah, that's going
to
end.
Well... hold on to the volume thing there. And then 24th of November, Wales versus South Africa. That'll be at 5 o'clock as well. Over the weekend, there was the Telkom Knockout Cup, which is obviously a big deal. That was the last 16. So Free State Stars, they lost to Wits 1-0. Sundowns beat Bloem Celtic 1-0. Baroka beat Golden Arrows 2-0. Maritzburg United beat Highlands Park 2-1. And Orlando Pirates beat Chipper 1-0. What is this? Where are the boring draws? Where are all the penalties? Where they're terrible at taking penalties? Well, that came on Sunday. Polokwane City drew 1-1 with Supersport United. And into the penalties they went. Supersport United winning that one 6-5. And then Kaizer Chiefs, they took on Black Leopards. And again, 1-1 final result. And then Chiefs won 4-2 on the penalties. Tuesday will be the final match of this round. It'll be AmaZulu versus Cape Town City, 7:30 if you're into that. There was drama. So much drama in the English Premier League. Mostly because anything around Jose Mourinho nowadays, you know, he's become a bit of a parody act. He's a bit of a circus act nowadays, actually. Which is a bit of a shame because the guy obviously was a big deal. Anyway, Chelsea Man United. That was the first match of the weekend at Stamford Bridge. And Man United did well, I think, to get to 2-1 up. And it was deep into injury time. And then Chelsea, well, they got that goal. And then the assistant coach of Chelsea celebrated the goal in front of Jose Mourinho. Jose Mourinho got up in a huff and ran towards him. Like, what the hell is he going to do? Anyway, security plow into this whole situation and his handbags, and it's all just so absolutely handbags. Childlike. Just semi-grown men acting like tough guys. This is such a joke. You're better than this, English Premier League. So the whole thing about football is that because their game is fundamentally quite boring, they have to ramp up the drama. But they've now got to this point where it's becoming a little bit too circus, just a little bit too much. And then Jose was then like booed by the old Chelsea fans. Then he was telling them that he won 3 titles at this ground.
Well, he seems to be trying really hard to prove himself.
I know, it's very sad. Cardiff, they hammered Fulham 4-2. Man City 5-0 over Burnley. That's the cool thing about Man City is they just score loads of goals. They're not looking to like piss anyone off or just get petty about who's won what. They just absolutely dick everyone they play against. West Ham, they lost 1-0 to Spurs. Tough weekend for West Ham Spurs. Watford, they beat Wolves. And let's be honest, nothing else is actually that important. Liverpool, there. Well done. Hooray, they beat Huddersfield 1-0. The CJ Cup. And that was a big deal of the weekend at Nine Bridges in Jeju Island, South Korea. It was a hugely star-studded field, this one, actually. It's a US PGA Tour event, so this is like the semi-European swing, sorry, Asian swing that they're throwing into this postseason slash preseason. I never know which one it is because the season starts and finishes at the same time. But anyway, it was a whole bunch of really, really big names playing this. 21 under was the winning score, and that was Brooks Koepka. He went 71, 65, 67, 64, and with that, he is now the world number one golfer. Incredible year. 2 major titles, 3 wins. Probably the only one of a few Americans that were decent at the Ryder Cup. Such an incredible player, and now he is world number one. As Gary Player always said, it's the big, strong guys that are going to dominate golf in future.
Gary Player knows.
And there he is, Brooks Koepka. Doesn't get much bigger and stronger than that.
Yeah.
And here he is. The Andalusia Masters in Valderrama was postponed till Monday. It's going to be three rounds, only finishing on Monday because there's been thunder showers everywhere. Sergio Garcia has a healthy lead there. And, well, what else is there? There's, oh yeah, Formula One. Lewis Hamilton didn't win the Circuit of Americas. It was Kimi Raikkonen. And Max Verstappen came second. Hamilton is third. And, well, it's just prolonging the inevitable, really. So good on Ferrari. They got a win. A little bit too late, though. So Hamilton now is just getting closer and closer to the inevitable title. And with that, I wrap up the sport for your Monday.
Thank you very much, Ben. What a lot to think
very
about.
Nice. So very nice.
No BSL update? MSL update.
BSL, MSL.
Mzansi Super League.
Let's just calm. I was going to tell Gareth about the Mzansi Super League off air. So that I don't get all the questions, because obviously he's going to be so eager and so keen.
Got you.
And then I'll introduce him to his team off air, so that he's up to speed when we talk about it as of tomorrow.
Okay. All right. First, it's time for Anthea.
She works hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Shame, Anthea, you've got to work so much harder when the stock exchange is down for a fourth consecutive week, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
If you've been looking at your pension fund or your investments, it's not looking pretty. Yeah,
thanks, Cyril.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure you can say it's Cyril, actually, because I've just tweeted a picture of ETFs, which are exchange-traded funds, in U.S. dollar terms, and it'll show you each of the country markets down from their highs. South Africa kind of features in the middle. We're down 30% from our high.
But Nigeria's down 69%, Greece 69%, Turkey 63%. Egypt 60, Russia 55, Colombia 54, Italy 49, Brazil 46, Argentina 35, and we're 34.
So you can see kind of the real worry are what they call the brats, right? The emerging markets.
But everyone's in the
Brazil,
red.
Brazil,
everyone.
Argentina, Turkey, those are the really big ones.
Good
those
heavens.
Are ugly. And we've done not too badly considering they're down in the 60s. That's US dollar terms, by the way. So it will also impact how the rand or whatever exchange rate you're looking at has done. I see the rand hasn't moved much since last week. It's about 14.38 to the dollar, 16.56 to the euro, and 18.79 to the pound, which is pretty much where it was last week. And then, of course, you know, we've got the medium-term budget speech this week. Everyone's looking to see what's going to happen there. A lot of economists, I'm nervous to say this, a lot of economists are looking for a VAT increase because they're saying that there's just not enough money in the fiscus to cover the expenditure. But I can't imagine.
Well, there isn't.
I know, but I can't imagine.
The bank is empty.
That Treasury are going to want to raise VAT at this stage, right?
Well, if they do, they'll have a tax revolt in their hands.
Absolutely.
And the people of this country are fed up. And when we see how many of these incompetent people are getting away with, they're stealing money. And we know we've just gone through, you know, the whole state capture thing. And then we see the VBS scandal. And then we see this woman from SARS on the TV who's so embarrassingly thick that you couldn't trust her to tell between apple and an orange, and she's in charge of SARS's IT department. Why should we give any money to the government?
And she gets paid 3 million rand a year.
What?
So I know a lot of people are complaining about this and everyone's feeling really down about it, but I must say I'm quite happy that this is happening because
please tell us how
it shows that things are coming out in the wash now, right? So things are being exposed, whereas before she would have just happily sat in her job, earned her 3 million rand a year, and others, Transnet CEOs, VBS, all those things would have just happened in the background. We would never have known about it. But because it's coming to light, I think things are changing. I think your general attitude to how the country's being run is changing. And yes, it is frustrating. We're having to go through this purge and kind of highlight things that are just shocking, quite frankly. But yeah, I mean, the difficulty, of course, is now to build or rebuild the country and all the SOEs on a meritocracy rather than kind of anything else.
Tailored deployment.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Tito Mboweni was in Parliament last week and saying that, like, he actually literally mentioned the four things that worry him at the moment: VBS, the PIC, SARS, and SAA. And he's right to focus on that, because Moody's also came out last week and said they were going to wait until after the medium-term budget speech before they did anything. And potentially we could even get upgraded by Moody's.
Really?
How would that? Yeah. That's what they said.
Huh.
They said, just watch out, though. So what we don't want in this week's budget are big shocks. You just want Tito to balance the budget quietly and just kind of, you know, smooth things over.
Just don't upset anybody.
That's right. That's pretty much how it is. And also, there are issues that need to be fixed. And Moody's are saying, well, actually, can you just face that, please? Can you just focus on your SOEs, focus on the expenditure leakages, sort it out, and you'll be okay, basically. So there's a glimmer of hope.
All right. So let's look at a couple of things. The executive moves that I mentioned already, that Transnet CEO has been fired.
Yeah.
Mr. Price, though, Stuart Bird is the guy in charge there. He's going to resign after 8 years of heading up Mr. Price, and quite well for most of it.
Yeah, no, they've done fantastically well. In the last 2 or 3 years, they've had a couple of missteps, but nothing that they haven't been able to fix. You know, everybody in the fashion industry has these every once in a while. Your latest victim was Woolworths. So I think Stuart Bird's done an okay job. He's succeeded by their CFO, Mark Blair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Hedewick, remember him from Famous Brands?
Yeah, hasn't done such a great job.
Oh, no, he's done a shocking job, actually.
Tell me more.
Yeah, so he was at Famous Brands, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, because they put out a trading statement. Then he was at Long for Life, him and Long for Life CEO, whose name just escapes me now.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, I can't believe
Someone's forgetting.
Anyway, old age.
Someone had a heavy weekend.
Of working, yes. So hard for her money. They didn't get along, and he's left there. But guess what? He's joining Kauai.
Kauai?
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't mess up Kauai. I like Kauai. Joffe.
Brian Joffe, thank you very much. See ya.
Okay, Kauai I like.
Yeah, and they also own New Health.
Yes.
And the speculation is Kevin Hedewick's joining them because they're planning to list. That would be interesting, I think.
Yeah, probably, but I hope it doesn't change things.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about Famous Brands.
Right. Because
one of the issues they had was this gourmet burger kitchen business that they bought in the UK. Basically, they are losing £5.2 million annualized. And
yes,
that's basically a 10% drag on group operating profit. And that's before accounting for the 230 million rand interest charge that was at the annual interest charge.
That's not a small amount of money.
Deal. No. So I think what Famous Brands are going to do now is write down GBK completely and just say, okay, it's an absolute loss. We made an absolute mess of it, so they'll impair it. But I think they might actually even go into voluntary administration, because they've got these 10, 15-year leases in the UK, which they actually can't get out of. But if they go into voluntary administration, basically they're saying, you know, we are not a going concern anymore. So maybe we can negotiate these leases, or maybe we can get out of some of them. It's a shocking result. Famous Brands really not looking good at the moment.
All right.
And then Brait. They said last week that they were going to close down New Look in China. Now, you remember, Brait, a couple of years ago when we were talking about this, and I was very gung-ho about them because I put down all the numbers in a spreadsheet. I did my little DCF, my discounted cash flow, and I thought, wow, this is brilliant, right? This is just an absolute win. If they can produce these kinds of numbers, you definitely want to own the share. But actually, I think it's a good lesson, because what you don't realize is that starting a new business is hard. And starting a new business in China, which was where kind of the growth was going to come from for this retail business, is probably, unless you really understand the market, incredibly hard.
That's a tough ask.
Yeah. So glad to be out of Brait. Glad I changed my mind on that one a while ago. But that, shocking story there. The one good news we did have last week, though, was Dis-Chem. We need to talk about this. They put out their interim results. And in this environment, a company that can sustain itself or kind of carry on or produce great results, it's a win, right? So for Dis-Chem, group turnover was 9% up. Headline earnings per share, 10.5% up. So like-for-like sales is how we actually compare the company. If you kind of want to compare apples with apples, oranges with oranges. And it was kind of pedestrian at 3.4% higher, but the CEO, Ivan Saltzman, did say that they're standing by their plan to increase their stores. They have 136 stores at the moment, to 151 stores by the end of the year. So the growth is definitely there, and I think the long-term investment thesis is pretty much intact. It's a great growth story. They're doing well. They've suffered recently because I think, one, people or investors are worried about the local economy. And two, they've had a couple of glitches, but they were small ones. I think this is a company that can probably return 20 to 25% growth per annum. And if you can do that in this environment, I think you've got a winner. Absolutely. So
all right.
Happy to be owning Dis-Chem shares.
Dis-Chem, good. Mm-hmm. Consolidated Motor Holdings.
Yeah, so this is the motor rental business. And sales business. I'm afraid the results were kind of flat. Revenue up 8.8%. Margins were lower. Headline earnings were flat. Dividends per share was unchanged. But it's so cheap. It's trading at a price earnings ratio of 7x and a dividend yield of 7%, or over 7%. Now, everybody loves cash in hand, right? If you're going to own the share and they're going to pay you 7%, that's okay. The question is, can they hold this dividend? And they probably could. So the results kind of boring, but what was the most interesting thing about this was the language that they used in their statements, because, you know, as well as putting out the numbers, management generally write a little story about how the company has done this last year and what they think they're going to do going forward. And it was a little bit lame, actually, because the statement was all about, you know, oh, we're suffering the after effects of years of corruption and mismanagement. And they even mentioned the ANC and how badly they'd done. So they were really kind of passing the buck, not taking responsibility for it. And they even mentioned land expropriation, which was interesting because it made me go to Tongaat Ulett. And I don't know if you remember, we've spoken about Tongaat Ulett and how the real, it's a sugar company, but how the real kind of sweetener, that's funny, the real
funny
sweetener in the results was actually the fact that they owned all this land, which they could
parcel off.
That's right. And we were, you know, we calculated the value of the land. Tongaat Ulett share price in the last couple of months, since we've been talking about land expropriation, has gone from 112 Rand to 59 Rand.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's got to hurt, eh? And actually, partly it's because they haven't got rid of being able to sell these parcels of land. And I think it is because of talk of land expropriation, and investors are going, well, if you've got parcels of unused land in KwaZulu-Natal, it's going to get taken away from you.
We'll get it used.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then we must talk about Netflix quickly, because they put out results as well last week.
All right.
Exceptional results. So we were expecting, or they had guided us to, an increase of 700,000 new paid subscribers in the US and 4.45 million international markets. They came out with 1 million paid subscribers in the US and 5.07 million internationally. A record. I mean, just record quarterly results, 14% ahead of expectations. And this is while reducing their marketing spend by 17%. You know, we always talk about Jaws,
yes,
the difference between how your revenue grows and how your expenses grow. So this is nice because it's going the other way.
Right.
You know, the revenue is increasing and expenses are shrinking. But what I loved about these results was Reed Hastings actually live streamed the results. And he had, I think it was a UBS analyst on the line, actually asking him questions, so like interrogating his results. And they normally, what they do normally is they stand up there, they read out the results, which is dreadfully boring because we can read them ourselves. And then they take three or four questions from the audience, and the questions kind of are fairly dull.
Okay.
You know, the analysts trying not to upset management too much while trying to sound very clever. But this time around, I can't remember the analyst's name, but he's been in the industry for a while. And he was asking fairly pertinent questions of Reed Hastings. And I think the way he did it was just cool. You know, it's kind of shows that he's
approachable,
forward thinking, and approachable. And he's not scared to answer tough questions. Because normally these CEOs, and you know, remember Elon Musk.
They hide away or they become crazy.
Yeah. Elon Musk called one of the analysts a bonehead, remember?
Yes, that's right.
So it was good that the CEO of Netflix is kind of out there.
All right, very good.
All right, well, good luck for the mini budget this week.
Yeah, well, do we need to check in with you? I mean, are you expecting any fireworks, or do you hope that Tita takes your advice and just keeps it quiet?
I'm really hoping he keeps it quiet. But you never know.
So
maybe I'll phone you on Thursday.
So overwhelmingly here, yeah, that would be cool. I'd like to hear from you on Thursday. But overwhelmingly here, what we are talking about is that a lot of the rot is being found and being taken out. Yeah. Is that the way you see it?
That's the way I see it, exactly.
So we're going through
a purge.
And when you purge, you feel terrible.
But you come out the other side clean, right? Hopefully. Mm. Or as clean as can be anyway.
God, from your mouth to God's ears. All right,
thanks,
Anthea.
Guys. Have a
thanks
good week.
So much. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. Every Monday, get it once a week. And if it's a special occasion like the budget, the mini budget on Thursday, you get her twice.
Hmm.
But you have to be really, really well behaved.
You've got to be good.
All right, Said by Sia time. You got something for us today to make us feel upbeat and excited?
Yes, I do. I have something that'll actually take us over to the second hour.
Go on.
By now, I hope you have seen this awesome video doing the rounds on social media because I think it's so awesome. It is a choir called the Ndlovu Youth Choir.
Yes.
Which have done an awesome, incredible cover of Ed Sheeran's Shape of You. Now, here's the thing about this cover. It's not just a cover as in the original song, but they actually translated the song into isiZulu.
Hmm.
And they've also teamed up with the Grammy Award-winning artist Wouter Kalman, who's the South African flautist. Yes.
Sing theme tune, do the theme tune.
Write the theme tune.
That's Wouter Kalman.
Let's have you together, Peter Calvin. Okay, just needed to get the gist of that.
Oh, you brought it up. What are we meant to do?
So right by now, the video has gotten more than 400,000 views on... No, sorry, I lied. More than 124,000 views on YouTube.
That's and people, quick for what, like a week?
Yeah, it's been 6 days. And people are loving it so much. Then now all South Africans are banding together saying, hey, Ed Sheeran, you're coming to the country in a couple of months. How about you incorporate this awesome choir into your...
And Wouter Kalman.
Okay, and him too. So the choir hails from Limpopo, made up of young people. It has started back in 1994.
Boys and girls.
Yes, unlike the Drakensberg Boys Choir, yes. And
bitches, please.
With their performances as well, they're able to raise funds for their community, and they give back as well in a form of a care group. So they give back by raising funds for healthcare, childcare, education, and community development as well. It's really incredible. If you want a little smile put on your face, you can search Ndlovu Youth Choir on YouTube and watch a bit of it. But we have a bit of a clip to play just of their performance. I watched it over the weekend and I really thought it was quite cool.
All right, very nice. Mm. Thank you so much. There we go. There's Sia Sangweni with a look at a happy, optimistic, positive story to start your Monday morning.
I like it.
Just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. When we come back in a little bit, we'll tackle the news. Get our hands and our feet and all kinds of other parts of our bodies around the news stories of the day, and hopefully you'll understand them all a whole lot better. Are you ready?
For?
That's a rousing response.
Yes, thanks, Monday, guys.
Yes.
Right.
Yay, are you ready?
Yes. Yay.
All right, there we go.
And England skipper Andrew Strauss arrived in London, proudly showing off the little urn. They'll spend 4 days at home before flying out for the World Cup. And Belinda, I just can't understand how something so small can be so impressive.
Well, Mark, you would know about that. Thank you very much. Weather's next with Jane Riley, but first, here's George Negus.
Isn't that nice?
I love Belinda.
Isn't that great? That's how you talk to your colleagues. Isn't that nice? So that there is a word of advice for anybody who thinks that you've got to be polite and kind to your colleagues all the time.
Mark, you'd know about that.
Mark, you'd know all about that, little things like that, wouldn't you, Mark? With your tiny penis and everything, Mark. Great, Mark. Good for you. You're such a winner. I'm your worst fucking nightmare, Mark, and I'm here every morning to co-present the news with you. Isn't that nice, Mark? CliffCentral.com